With your money briefing, I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. Some international airlines are taking advantage of a loophole in aviation law that makes it pretty cheap to travel from the U.S. to foreign countries. And U.S.-based carriers are not happy about it. We'll explain in a moment. First, these money and market stories you should know. The IRS says that taxpayers will be able to contribute $6,000 to their traditional individual retirement accounts, or IRAs, in 2019. That's up from the $5,500 level in place since 2013. And participants in 401k plans will be able to set aside up to $19,000 before taxes next year, up from $18,500. The IRS hasn't yet released other inflation adjustments for 2019. The missing pieces so far include the individual income tax brackets, the standard deduction, and the per-person exemption from the estate tax. And a study released on Thursday from the financial consultancy nonprofit group, the Center for Financial Services Innovation, finds that millions of Americans continue to struggle, despite a long-standing bull stock market and consumer confidence at record highs. The group found that 28% of Americans are considered financially healthy, while 17% of Americans are what the group calls financially vulnerable, meaning they struggle with nearly all financial aspects of their lives, and 55% are financially coping, meaning they struggle with some but not all aspects of their financial lives. That's coupled with recent Federal Reserve data that says the median American household currently holds just $11,700 in savings. When households are measured by their income, the bottom 20% by income have no savings accounts, and the second lowest 20% income earners have just $26,450 saved. If you're looking to fly from the U.S. to Europe, would you consider Singapore Airlines? Well, maybe you should. Wall Street Journal middle seat columnist Scott McCartney joins us to spell out some details. So, Scott, international airlines like Singapore typically aren't able to, for example, fly between two cities that aren't in Singapore, but there's a little-known rule in aviation law, and it has to do with refueling?
Yeah, that's right. This goes back to post-World War II, an international treaty that gave airlines the freedom to pick up passengers in non-native countries if they were making a fuel stop. You know, planes at that time didn't have nearly the range that they do now, so fuel stops were more common. And so if you were going to stop somewhere, why not sell tickets for people who want to go there and get on and off the airplane, made the flights much more economical. That has continued today. And even on routes that don't need fuel stops, airlines are taking advantage to be able to offer flights that by treaty they couldn't serve those markets.
And if people find the right flight, they can actually save quite a bit of money on airfare.
Yeah, it's remarkable. Some of these routes, because you have this unusual level of competition, really do offer big bargains. A favorite example between Osaka, Japan, and Honolulu, there are now some Asian discount low-cost carriers that have gotten into that market using Fifth Freedom rights. So a Malaysian discounter, long-haul discounter, AirAsia X, a Singaporean discounter called Scoot. And you look at prices, you can fly from Osaka to Honolulu for $200 round trip.
That's pretty remarkable.
Because these are non-native routes, often the airline doesn't have a whole lot of visibility to travelers. People don't always know about this. There's not a lot of native demand for it. So what they do is cut prices to fill seats.
I suppose the idea of international airlines known for their passenger experience, flying in some cases from the U.S. to a foreign location, could be seen as a competitive check on U.S. airlines if they offer the same route.
Yes, that's right. U.S. airlines aren't always happy about this. A really interesting example is Emirates flying from New York to Milan, Italy. That was at the time, it was not a route that anybody was flying. They saw an opportunity. They took advantage of it. They've since added flights from Newark to Athens, Greece, at the request of the Greek government, which wanted more air service. So U.S. airlines protested, but this is well-established aviation law, and they have have the right to do it. And so they're doing it, and there are really some good bargains as a result.
It's a really interesting relationship you bring up in your column about the between the countries and the airlines, how the countries ask the airlines for more service, but there's no financial relationship between the country and the airline.
It gets really difficult when other countries start subsidizing airlines, even when native countries start subsidizing airlines, although there are still a lot of state-owned airlines around the world that do benefit from government bailouts and things like that. But in general, the aviation community wants, fair competition around the world. You know, these carriers certainly say they have the right to do it and they're going to keep doing it. Another interesting example that sort of illustrates this, Singapore has recently started non-stop flights from New York to Singapore, but they've been flying that route with a stop in Frankfurt. That New York to Frankfurt flight on an Airbus A380 really is popular with a lot of travelers, and they're keeping it, even though they're also offering nonstop. They think that low fare vacationers, they can offer cheap fares on that giant super jumbo going from New York to Frankfurt, and that'll be very popular with, and is very popular with, vacationers going to Europe.
And U.S. airlines also benefit from the Fifth Freedom Rule, right?
Well, they have in the past. The biggest benefit was both United and, at the time, Northwest had hubs in Tokyo where they were flying because they were making fuel stops. They were flying and the U.S. claimed a lot of aviation rights after the war. They were able to fly on to Hong Kong or Singapore or Kuala Lumpur, a lot of different places in Asia. They've actually since pulled back those hubs. Delta has a partnership with Korean Air now, and so they route a lot of traffic through Seoul instead of their own connections in Tokyo, and United has a partnership with ANA, All Nippon, the Japanese airline. Those hubs are less of a factor, but at one time, you had two U.S. airlines who were really dominating Asian aviation.
And you know, Scott, that this rule in aviation law was enacted, as you said, in the 1940s. And part of the language states, quote, whereas it is desirable to avoid friction and to promote that cooperation between nations and peoples upon which the peace of the world depends. That's pretty poignant language. And just my own thought here, but a lot of industries and countries could really learn from that.
Totally agree. Aviation is a real unifying force, does bring people together, does expose people to different cultures, and does promote tremendous economic stimulation. It really is a unifying business. And I agree, the language in the treaty really does live on and is very relevant today.
All right. That is Wall Street Journal Middle Sea columnist Scott McCartney joining us via Skype. Scott, thanks for being with us.
Great to be with you, J.R.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.